nimble, like a ballet, 3,500-pound ballerina, right? Welcome back, everyone, to episode 21, Leftist Right NASCAR. This week, Adam gets at you on all the socials for the Leftist Right podcast. Matt makes every 90s kid's first car as fast as possible. And I get excited about road course stuff. So Adam, Matt, how you guys doing this week?
We are well. We are officially legal as a podcast, episode 21. So we finally crossed over the mark.
Well, I don't know about legal. A long time. I don't know about legal, but we're doing it.
We're doing it, and we don't have to hide it from the cops anymore. Let's go.
Fantastic. Yeah. I've got the social media stuff all like scheduled out. When you become like a creator, there's like I learned all this stuff. You become this like it's all controlled through Facebook, but there's this thing called Creator Studio, and it allows you. It's like a backdoor entry to manage everything that you have on those platforms. So. Essentially, you can like publish, schedule out, and do whatever you need to do ahead of time, and then things will just roll from there at whatever time you tell it to go on the internet. What an amazing thing!
What a world we're living in!
It's amazing.
I feel like I'm the last person to discover this.
I mean, no, because compared to you, I'm like over here making smoke signals with the social media stuff, you know.
So I was thinking back the other day, right, just kind of with all this technology we have everywhere, right? I remember in kindergarten we had like Apple computers, just like first gen Apples. You remember like the floppy disks that weren't the mini floppy disks, the 3.5s that were actually the big disks?
Oh yeah, weren't they what, sevens?
yeah we each had our own too with our name on it, like that was a thing. Like mine was over in the corner on the wall. Everybody had their slot for their card, for their floppy disk card, had your name on it. That was yours. Like that was where you put your stuff. We weren't really putting anything on there other than like I don't know, our name, like word art.
Document, and that was probably it.
Yeah, they only held a couple hundred kilobytes, right? Something like that. It was like
and it made these noises. It's like a modem loading up, you know?
Oh my god.
Can you do that again? How's that go?
It's like R2-D2, but in real life, you know. We live.
Matt's got a future doing sound effects for the next Star Wars movie.
Oh,
sign me up! But like, we were talking to one of our friends, and the one guy's younger, and I'm like, you remember like floppy disks? He's like, what? I'm like, you know the save icon? Well, that was a real thing. That was a hard thing that you had to carry around from class to class to hand in your assignment. And back then, you could say something got messed up with it, and people would actually believe you when you didn't do your homework. You know, nowadays, you can't say that.
No excuses.
They were not reliable whatsoever. Anything could go wrong, you know?
Oh, the magnets. Remember magnets were your worst enemy? That was a thing. Wipe that thing right out.
But wiping hard drives and stuff.
Like, you know how now you're supposed to, like, hit the eject button for your USB drive, which nobody does that? Because like,
never done that. 10 years. Yeah.
That's just, like, a carryover from the floppy disk, I think. It's just, like, a muscle memory. Like, oh, I got to do something.
Yes. We can't just pull this out. We're going to disrupt all the electrodes and the science stuff. You can't do this.
Meanwhile, the IT guy's like, just turn it off and turn it back on.
Yeah,
or you can flash back to
try and turn it off again. Yeah.
You know what? Go ahead and depower that and power it back. You mean depower? You mean turn it off? What are you talking about? Depower. Sure. But we can tie this to NASCAR, Adam. I know you're getting worried, but we can tie it to NASCAR. You remember when NASCAR got computers, when they got PCMs?
Yeah.
I think it was Bristol, right? And they had a red flag and everybody shut their cars off. Some of them wouldn't refire. And Black Walters up there like, oh, something, they're going to change that PCM. They're going to change that computer right out in there. Something's wrong with that thing. And we're sitting there in the house going, it's got no hot start cal. No one thought about a hot start cal, you know?
What year was that?
It had to be third. I want to say, I don't know when. When was like the big redesign of the new gen for next year? 15?
I'll have to figure it out. Yeah, I don't know.
Because it wasn't a full tear up, right? They didn't tear up the whole car. But
it was less than 10 years ago. It was less than 10 years ago. It was after the Car of Tomorrow.
Yes.
And so it would have been somewhere around.
What a term.
Yeah, COT for the people who know. COT. Which would be nobody listening to this podcast.
No one. Absolutely not.
We'll have to look that up. I'll have to clarify that. I don't want to be wrong.
We're almost there, boys. Independent rear suspensions contacts. We'll be there, you know.
We're gonna do a deep dive here coming up in sometime in the rest of the year because I found some really awesome information about the next gen car that's out there. Nice. I'll share it with you guys. It's got all the specs, all the suppliers, who's supplying what part.
Mr. Pop, Popris?
No, it's on Jayski's website.
Oh, very cool.
There's a next gen car tab. You can go on there and see it. It's pretty cool. It's pretty sweet. Nice. I was looking at it. Oh, Brent has left the chat.
Brent's out. So we wait for Brent to come back in, Adam. What did we do? We got a logo. We got banners now. We got the merch game coming up at the point. So,
well, yeah, we got things in the pipeline. I don't want to move too fast, you know, just take some baby steps. But the banners came in today and the officially licensed, we own the rights to the banners. And I know no one can see this, but it's just the logo. So yeah. Reverse though, black letters with the white background.
That's, you got to stick out, man. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. P. Hello.
I might be back. Maybe.
Oh, hello. Right.
He's back.
Got some high quality Wi-Fi at the rental down here.
You know. Fine. What are you gonna do?
That's all right. We were just talking about the logo and stuff and the banner in the background. So
it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm excited.
We'll talk about Chip, but if you're gonna get it up here when I go to Woodward, I'm gonna fly the banner.
Okay.
Out here in Michigan. We're gonna get her out, you know.
Well, why don't you buy something off of eBay? I'll ship it for free.
Attaboy. Well,
buy one of my diecasts, bud.
You keep it up. I'll start commenting on all your posts, you know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, let's hold on real though. Let's real quick. Let's just back up a step. So I have dived in deep. You know, we talked about all the stuff we're scoring on eBay for ourselves, but that's gotten really expensive, so I've decided to go the other way with this, and I bought somebody's NASCAR diecast collection for $75. It contained 45 pieces that are, it was more than that, but there's, in by my count, there's 45 things that are of some value, and we've sold one item already, a 1994 Chevy Suburban 1/25th scale diecast that has Dale Earnhardt Sr. paint scheme on it with the number 3 and has all his championship years listed down the side. Mint condition.
Buddy. So, Adam, did you think they found that truck at down there at Talladega? And someone's like, we need to make this a diecast. This is the most unbelievable rig of all time.
Somebody probably has a real one. I'm sure down there. You know what I mean?
Sure they do.
But I got $30 for it. So, yeah. I mean, like, you know, if I averaged out my investment over those 45 items, you know, on one item making $30, I made like 2,000% profit. So, it's pretty good.
Absolutely. Absolutely amazing. Is the rest of the stuff up or you're slowly trickling it out?
No. So, I've only done one so far, one other one. So, right now I got up a 2004. It's 04. No, 96. No.
96 would be Atlanta. Is it Atlanta?
No, that's the other one. I've got more goodies coming. But I've got an Olympic theme, Dale Earnhardt Jr., 1/24th diecast. It's a replica bank. So it actually has like a coin slot in the back and the key for the bottom that you can actually
very
keep
cool.
on it if you that's want great. To. But that's up for $30. It's like my going rate. So $30, buy it now. It's currently our best offer. So
Okay.
See what happens.
All right.
For the insiders, you can't offer less than $15. I got a block, so it's going to sell between $15 and $30.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
And a lot of interest? Any offers yet?
Nah, the page has, like, no offers, but the page has, like, 150 views in, like, 3 days.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It'll go. It will. Just sitting around, goes. Waiting.
Rachel and I sold a ceramic pie pot pan that had like apples on it. It looked like an apple pie. You put your apple pie in. We sold that thing for a couple dollars. Someone paid like more to ship it than it was actually worth.
Yeah,
like, that's fine.
Nice.
Yeah, legit.
We'll see. We'll get there.
We sure will.
Very good.
So we want to get started on Watkins Glen recap now that Brent's back.
Yeah, I'm with it. You know, I'm with it. Yeah, Glen was
that was a hell of a track.
That was some good racing.
I forget how fast that place is.
Yeah, it was super fast in my opinion. Like I watching the race, I thought it was just the race was extremely fast to begin with. Just from a time perspective, there wasn't much caution other than the stage breaks. You know, but they were able to keep green, you know, most of the way. But yeah, I mean, so Larson ends up taking the win, Chase Elliott in second, and Mr. Martin Truex Jr. in third there, Mr. Messina.
I'll take that. She was killing it. He was out there leading that thing. But the Chevy boys had a little something for him there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was. So he actually won stage two, right? And he, looking up the details there, I didn't realize this, but he was leading most laps of the day at 34.
Wow.
They couldn't catch him. And if you watched Bell was being real cautious around him when he finally got to him. And I think that's what did Bell in when Larson finally caught up to him and gave him the chrome horn, bud.
He just didn't see him there.
He didn't see him? You don't think so, Brent?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's on Bell, in my opinion.
I think that whole, the whole situation that happened, like, right, you, so Truex was in the lead, Bell was in third, Larson was trying to chase these guys down. He was a little bit behind them in this situation. But, yeah, in that moment of them being all, like, it was just Truex and Bell out front, Bell was being super cautious. Like, he wasn't. Well, he was just kind of riding around, it almost seemed like. And I'm guessing, you know, teammate situation and not wanting to wreck each other, right? I mean, playoff points are on the line, basically. Yep.
What's the deal with shake and bake, you know? If you win, how am I supposed to win? You know, that kind of thing. From Talladega.
But it got real interesting when I think it got to a point where Bell's car was just – or Truex's car was fading a little bit. Bell was faster, and they were coming down the front stretch, and I think this was the second time. The first time Bell didn't have the right speed to make the pass. The second time, I think he probably had the speed, and then Larson had caught up to both those guys at this point, and going down the front stretch, he had gone to the inside wall, looked like an old F1 move, and Bell put on the block of the year.
Was an incredible block.
Like Joey Logano style.
That Joey Logano wouldn't even have done that block, dude. That's how bad that block was.
Man, he whipped that thing in there
These cars, guys, these cars were way too easy to drive. I don't care what anybody says. You should not be able to do that in a 3,500-pound car.
They're nimble. Like a 3,500-pound ballerina, right?
Like,
I mean, they're hooked up. They are hooked up. Like, there's no question about that. I mean, this was a good race because you could appreciate how hooked up the car was. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, it's probably easy for the driver, but, like, especially, like, going through the bus stop. I mean, I don't think anybody was lifting in those situations.
No. They were getting the brake set. They were getting it set and just jumping, so.
Which was impressive to watch.
Oh, I love it, dude. That is unbelievable. And I think that's maybe my favorite road course they go to, dude.
Yeah, and they didn't even use the last four turns.
Yeah, and they don't need to. Like, I don't know. That would just slow it down. I don't feel like they need to. This is, you know, it's not a real technical road course in this configuration.
Right.
It's a second gear track, right? The lowest gear you get into is second. So I think that's right where, especially these older cars, I think that's exactly where we need to be. Now, going forward, definitely would like to see, you know, they're going to be able to handle the technical stuff way better. But
right.
The carousel's awesome. Just watching them just skate in that line of traction, you know, the entire corner. It was very impressive to watch.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I think one of the most entertaining
to start
things.
Off the race, so. Go ahead, Brent. Sorry.
Let's say one of the most entertaining things was the Penske boys over there. Or
Brad,
one in particular.
Oh my god, dude.
Again.
Brad Keselowski. It's a good thing he's, you know, kicked off the team at this point, right?
Whoa! Kicked off the team.
But yeah, dude, he started on the pole, and he had, I think his first spin in the bus stop. I think he
was coming to turn one, but I, you know, that
well,
was
he spun multiple times. I think I counted three, and the time you're thinking of where he spun in turn one was where he hit Joey, who also spun out at that point. And from my perspective, we're calling it even.
We're just gonna move forward. Shake hands and move on. Yeah.
Everybody announced was talking a little bit about car setup and how that could result in that situation where there might not be anything wrong, physically broken on that car. They may have dialed in way too much camber in the front tires to try and get the car to turn better. Problem with adding a lot of negative camber in the front is you lose braking grip in a straight line, because now the tire is not flat on the pavement when the car is going in a straight line. So he started off the race, he was locking up the right front into every single corner.
Yeah.
And he's like, so he started dialing in more rear brake bias to try and help with the front end lockup. That's what was starting to put the car around. Once he got the brake bias down to the back, then he's locking up the rears, then he's going for a ride. So there may not have been anything physically wrong with that car, but the setup may have been way off from where it should have been is a possibility. But yeah, we know these things a lot. We'll axle hop and the rear will get out of shape if they get too aggressive with rear brake bias or downshifts. That's the result. They go for slides.
And that's really the only real incidents of the day were spins. And yep. I think one time they threw a caution for one of them, but most of the other spins, they did not. I mean, that's what's kind of nice about a road course in this situation. When there's a spin, there's plenty of pavement, you know, and the car's not wrecked. You know what I mean? And
right.
they can keep it rolling once the rest of the field passes. So
this was the best managed race they've had so far.
Right. Their previous road courses, it was like, oh, throw the yellow. It's like, what are you doing? He's going to refire and join the back of the field, and life's gonna continue. So NASCAR has learned that a little bit.
These drivers have eyeballs. Yeah. They can see in front of them. They have spotters who also have eyeballs.
It's their job. This is a spotter's job to have eyeballs. I mean, that's kind of a prerequisite.
Gotta have the balls. Gotta have the balls.
Gotta have the ball. Jesus.
But, so yeah, that's the whole Bell and Larson. There's some things going on there. They're chirping each other on the interwebs, and Bell's not having any of it. He don't even want to have a conversation with King Kyle.
King Kyle,
dirty money Kyle in his eyes, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It was a hell of a race. I don't like watching Larson win anymore, but you know.
Well. So the other thing you want to pay attention to, you know, now that we're, you know, the playoff pictures, aside from somebody winning in that's currently not in, I mean, for the most part, it pretty much is set of at least 15 drivers who are going to be in. But the interesting battle going forward right now is both drivers on the RCR Richard Childress Racing team.
Mm-hmm.
So Tyler Reddick is in 16th place, one spot above the cut, or just above the cut. And Austin Dillon, his teammate in the number three, is one below him. And that's an interesting battle among teammates at this point of who's going to get in.
Gosh, and who's going to get in though? It's going to come down to Daytona, right? Because that's the last race of the regular season. It's going to be Dillon, but a new winner really screws this stuff up too. You know,
a new winner does screw it up. That's what I mean. It completely screws it up, and I think in that case those guys, Reddick at this point is pushed out of the playoffs because the two drivers in that haven't won are Hamlin and Harvick, and it's not mathematically possible, I think, for them to not be in on points.
Yeah, right? How many races?
No more than one more oddball driver wins. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, it'll be Daytona as the end. That's going to be like the 500, dude. If there's someone new up front, it's going to be Move City, dude. Coming out of four, so
Logano blocks.
It's gonna be blocks. Well, they implemented that slow the car down thing though. So
what's that? What do you mean?
The Logano package for the super speedways.
Oh yeah, that's the whining from Talladega.
Yeah, the Dega package, the Logano package. So
Logano package, I like that.
they've ruined. Right? Well, hopefully not. I don't want to get pessimistic like every other NASCAR fan out there, right? Hopefully, I didn't ruin super speedways. That last race was unbelievable. So
it was. Yeah, it was unbelievable. And we'll see. It's playing into those hands, right? Three races to go: Indy Road Course, MIS, and Daytona. So we'll see what happens. I mean, Indy Road Course. I mean, a guy like Tyler Reddick could steal a win too. I mean.
True.
You know, they are practicing and qualifying this weekend, which we'll talk about later. But, you know, Reddick, for example, I mean, he was on the pole after qualifying for real at COTA, if you remember.
That's true. That's right. So hopefully they'll get that thing dialed in. They haven't been off the pace either. So all those Chevys are fast.
The last point I want to make about Cup at Glen was the post-race penalties. Bushy, number 18,
bushy
and Drew's boy, Fast Pasta. Yeah. Okay,
Alfredo.
One lug nut loose post race. So for those who don't know, one lug nut loose is a 10K fine to the crew chief. So a little lighter on the wallet this week.
On the wallet, yeah. Well, hey, I mean, Chase Elliott's crew chief cost him the win this weekend. So, let's face it, he'd have been miles ahead.
Things,
of the field,
dude. I don't know.
So yeah, they got sent to the back, right? Him and Bell in the beginning, and obviously, I mean, they charged all day through the field right away. I mean, those cars were clearly faster, and this is getting into the whole, you know, what we like to call innovation. In the NASCAR world. So they got pegged for a rear air deflector issue, which what I understand is from it being too thin. And listening to DBC boys and reading some other things that I read, it sounded like that particular issue was extremely noticeable in the garage on Sunday. Like, you could notice it with the car rolling over to tech, which, when we start to talk about innovation in this sport, I think what we've learned so far as we try to dissect into what's right and what's wrong, you know, is that everybody's doing it. And if it's more about what do you want to get away with and when, right? So if you make something obvious, then that's where the inspector's attention goes to, right? And perhaps they miss the six other innovative things that you've done for the pod this week.
Man, engage. It's best to engage in an act of subterfuge.
Literally, that's the games they're playing. So,
yeah. And, I think it's just a chess move. Those cars were fast. I mean, Chase yeah. ran the fastest yeah. lap of the day,
yeah.
the entire race.
Right, right.
He was the fastest car, and at this point, he just ran out of laps. I mean,
they were. I don't think they were that upset about getting caught. Which you know, they weren't that upset. No one was, you know, losing sleep over that. So,
but
yeah, it's so, innovation.
Innovation. I don't want to not talk about the Xfinity race, the truck race, or even the ARCA race. So, I forgot ARCA was even going to be there. That was wild too.
Yes.
So, we'll just go down from the pecking order though. We'll talk Xfinity now, right? So for the new listeners, Xfinity's like the feeder series to the Cup series, and
minor league. Yep.
The winner this week was none other than Ty Gibbs. So if you don't know racing, Ty the Real Deal Gibbs, as Matt says, is the grandson of NFL coach / NASCAR, you know, former NFL coach Joe Gibbs, right? NASCAR team owner. And, you know, I think all I really have to say about Ty winning is really that Ty is an awesome driver and he is in great equipment also.
Yes.
Yep. The winning combination here.
That's it. I was something interesting. I think it was BBC was talking about it. How, or was it Junior? It might have been Junior. One of the two. They were talking about how Ty's father raised, right? Ty gives his father, and he didn't do anything. He didn't do jack in the sport compared to what his son can do. So,
he was in a Gibbs car.
Yep. Gibbs equipment. So
how long ago was this?
Oh God, Adam, 90s. But you know, one of those things, right? Just food for thought. I think the kid, like you just said, it's both. I don't think they're both in a factor. Let's put it that way. Both are a factor in his winning abilities. I don't think if you shove him into a garbage car, he wins as much. But you know, people who know the sport recognize someone who can drive, right? Mm-hmm. So
yeah, he seems to be clean with his driving, or at least as clean as you'd expect someone with his experience to be.
He's
at that
18,
age,
right?
Yeah, 18. Yeah, his interviews, we've talked about the way he interviews and some of his things, but the way that he drives, particularly on a road course, which I think is more of a complex situation. For a lot of these guys than the ovals, the way that he handles that is at a much more mature level than I would expect.
Uh-huh. Except during interviews.
Yes, that the things fall apart there, but you know.
He was better. He was better this week.
He was.
I'll throw him a bone there. He's at this point, he's winning a lot, so he's getting a lot of opportunities to talk in front of the camera.
Yes. Practice makes perfect. At least he's not doing the Ricky Bobby, you know.
No, he's not. He's not doing the Ricky Bobby. He's
car was real good.
Car was real good. I have to say, you know, he's come a long way since that Daytona Road Course win. As far as like interviews go, he cried in that interview. The one
you got to start from the bottom, I guess. I don't.
Yeah, it's only up from there. But his burnout in that race was like non-existent, and his burnout this week was way better.
Yes.
what's more important, the burnout or the interview?
One complements the other. You know, if you come out of the car and you got like a haze behind you, you know that's when you're doing it. You know, in my opinion,
that's true. That's true.
Yeah. For me, there is a direct correlation to how many beers I've had and how good the burnout is. Yeah, I mean, I think you could put that on the graph and show some information about
alcohol consumption to tires smoking. Yeah, I'm with you there, bud. I follow you.
Yeah, and like how you would rate it. So, did the dinger, AJ Allman dinger in second, and Brent's boy, Austin the Giraffe Cindric in third. Yep.
Yeah. Austin the Giraffe.
Cindric's going to be in a cup car again this weekend. I'm excited.
We'll talk about that. Yeah. Yeah. He is definitely going to be in a cup car. But so in the Xfinity race at this point, Cindric, despite the Gibbs win, Cindric maintains the lead at this point in the standings. Six more races to go before the playoffs. And that starts with a round of 12 drivers, which is 1 week after the Bristol race that we will be going to. That Bristol race will be the cut.
Interesting. Oh my God. Dude, it's going to be unbelievable.
Sure is.
I'm pumped.
The last thing I want to point out about the Xfinity race was, I'm not sure if you guys caught this on lap 78, the number 47 car of Kyle Weatherman stops on the track under green and proceeded to get out of the car before the yellow came out.
The man, he had a fire, allegedly, right?
That's what I learned after the fact. But, like, in the moment, I'm like, this guy's an idiot. What is he doing?
Ricky Bobby, you are not Kyle on fire. Weatherman.
Yeah. Like, has this guy ever even driven a race car? Like, I was that's the first thing that went through my mind. Like, who is this?
I like this. It's scurry. Funny. He did a little scurry, you know? Yeah. Just like a little cockroach out. Dude,
he got out of that thing, like, quickly, and he was over the wall. Like, yeah, like I'm just going to leave this here.
It's funny you say that. I've run a few road courses recreationally, and, you know, they do these driver's meetings beforehand, and they're always very clear. You are not, and under any circumstances, to get out of your car on course, unless you think or know that you're on fire. in which case, it would probably be best to get to a corner worker station prior to getting out of the car. And my favorite one was the, you're supposed to be looking at the corner worker stations as you go around the course, because they have each corner worker station has flag stands. You might see a surface flag in case if someone kicks some dirt on the track, or the blue and yellow if there's a faster car behind you. But my favorite is if you see a corner worker waving a fire extinguisher at you, you're probably on fire.
Yeah, they're not just trying to say hello.
You're probably on fire. Yeah, so yeah, fire in a race car is a good reason to evacuate. That's a good reason to
evacuate. Oh, boy.
Love it. I really do. And I didn't know there was a debris of dirt on the track flag, right?
Yeah, it's yellow and red striped is the surface flag on road courses. It can be anything from someone went off course and brought some gravel or dirt on it, or a car dumped some fluids. And it will stand for 1 to 2 laps, and then it'll go away. And the assumption is that you've seen it, you know where it is, you know it's there. It's not an indication that it's been cleaned up or anything, but that's normal for road course corner flags. I don't know that we'll see it. I mean, it probably won't show it on TV at all. I couldn't even see the corner stations at the Glen. Might not really be visible by the cameras, but they're supposed to be positioned so the drivers can see them, so that they know what's going on.
Well, the more you know, learn something every day.
Interesting. So let's get to trucks, because trucks was awesome in its own right. Winner Austin Hill, so he's back to back. He won that Knoxville dirt race. That was
I love the truck.
Trucks were good, but our boy Chad Chastain, brother of the Melon Man.
What a letdown. I was so sad.
He had nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, yeah, big flop there.
He stuffed it into a tire wall, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we missed one thing. We back up to the cup race. So Melon Man got his chance to race finally, right? He had a good run. He was up to fourth at one point.
He was running very good. Yes.
He could have been in the mix there at the end, but he was about half a lap. They were about half a lap too short on the fuel. Bad call.
Oops.
Strategy didn't work out. They ended up 12th.
He'll have better strategy next year.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see. See if he gets
not
the track.
Not a believer, huh?
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like we're kind of getting off the rails of the trucks, but I'm like, the more and more I watch this sport, and other people probably already know this and be like, wow, you're just realizing this now. But like, the only people who win championships in this Cup Series are the top teams.
True.
Yeah. Very true.
I mean,
except for one time, Adam.
With your boy.
With my boy Furniture Row Racing, bud.
I know. But look, like you got. But arguably, Martin Truex Jr. is a Hall of Famer.
Well, yes, I would agree. Past DEI driver too, might we add.
This is true. He's got the pedigree, right? He's practically a son of the man.
But drove the one, buddy. Drove that one car.
Practically a son.
He lived with Junior. That's got to count for something. Right? That
counts for a shitload in my book, bud. Counts for almost everything. He's been made. Yeah. He was made.
Yep. Made man.
But the story that comes out, and I think I want to make this the name of the episode with your guys' blessing, was Carson Hocevar on pit road was wearing a Waffle House bucket hat.
It's a thing of beauty.
So I'll get that. Picture up on the social medias. So that
for our international and non-Midwest audience, what is a Waffle House?
A Waffle House is a dive diner.
That's a good way to put it.
That would be the politically correct way.
That's probably the nicest way I've heard that place said.
It's a shithole for people on the East Coast.
If there's not a lady ripping cigs and over the counter making you eggs, you're not at a good Waffle House. You know, that's part of it.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been to one Waffle House in my life, and it was very early in the morning before boarding a plane from the Midwest back east. And after going to eat and to pay and needed a pen to sign the signature, the lady pulled the pen out of her hair bun and gave it so they could use it to sign the receipt.
Yes, sir.
That was weird.
Was that a weird moment for you?
That was weird. I was like, okay, well, this is what I got to do. I mean, that was pre-COVID. But definitely now I don't know. I'm just like, well, I'm just not signing it, I guess.
What you did know, Adam, is that's the same pen she uses to stir the sausage gravy, you know? Same pen.
Yeah. Yeah. Stirring that. Yep.
It's the same pen.
That's a slice of Americana right there.
I've been the sure one, is. And my buddy was hungover at the time. It might have been on a class trip, may not have been. And the teacher who was there with us goes, he's either got a feel better or he's gonna throw up. And sure enough, option number two.
Oh my god.
I love the hat. Was sweet. It was like it was perfect. I felt like, you know, would have been nice to see him get a win, but you know, take that to victory lane. But
was Waffle House his actual sponsor? Was he driving?
No idea.
Okay.
I don't actually know. I don't remember seeing a Waffle House sticker on it, but he was certainly the, you know, the camera was loving him on pit road.
I was going to say this man was willingly
Waffle House, yeah,
willingly wearing a Waffle House hat of his own accord. Yep. Like that's impressive.
You know what that's about, though. Someone lost a bet. There's no other. There's one reason to do that. So
he does seem to like the hat thing. The hat thing on pit road, looking back on him a little bit on the interwebs, it's a kind of a thing. Not that ridiculous, but
okay.
It's kind of a thing, it seems like. So he's got a history there.
I love it. The best hat ever, though, was one of the throwback races. Blaney had a Motorcraft hat. It was legit. So much so that I actually purchased it. So
nice.
One time that's worked.
Blaney's got the style. You know?
Yeah, Blaney's the man.
He's got the style. He sure does.
I got to figure out my driver when Truex retires. He doesn't like the cars. I got to figure it out.
You coming over to the team?
No. there's one reason why I can't. It's because of you. So I could, no way. So
I don't know. I mean, there's three drivers. There's three of us. I mean, you know, it's kind of.
Yeah. Woo, go Team Penske. Go. This will be the Penske podcast. Welcome back to Roger's Corner. This is
Roger's Corner.
No way. Wednesday night with Mr. Rogers.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, no way.
Well, I'll remember that when you want to come.
Hey, yeah, I just can't do it. So, yep. Can't do it. Yeah. I think
we're that, Brent? Yeah.
I heard it. We'll talk about it.
I mean, I track house fan. as a card holding member, I provide gifts to those who like to join the team, right, Brent?
That is true. That is true.
I saw that today. Yeah. Someone got a little present from the man himself. So.
But anyway.
Adam is marketing director at Penske Racing.
Yeah, I wish. That's like a dream job. That'd be amazing.
Dream day at a time. Slinging merch.
But Arca Race winner Corey Heim, which I don't know if you guys have been following that at all. That is Mr. Ty Gibbs' archenemy.
Archenemy. Yeah.
Yeah, they
don't like each other much.
They're the only two drivers winning in ARCA. Ty Gibbs is running full-time ARCA, part-time Xfinity. Corey Heim is full-time ARCA, and he's been running some truck. It kind of was Corey Heim show, though. Ty didn't really have, I don't know, he says that he didn't have the car, gave the guys credit for working on it all day, and, you know, typical, you know, car was, I think he wanted to do the Kyle Busch line, car was shit, but, you know, I managed to wheel it to the third, but.
He's going to be a little better than Kyle there.
I'm going to be a little better than Kyle and give the guys credit, you know, and say they worked on it all day.
Well, because you're right. He wanted to say exactly that. This thing's dog shit, and you all better. You know, I don't want Christopher Bell hand-me-down. You know, he wants the good stuff. He wants the Kyle Busch hand-me-down from last week. So,
Ty remains 2 points ahead of him for the series lead, and there's seven to go.
How is that possible?
What?
That Gibbs is only, is he winning every other race?
It's one or the other. I don't think there's been anybody else who's won a race in ARCA. If there was, it's only one. And I have to go back and look at the information. But yeah, I mean, they're the only ones that win.
Everybody else is like, gee, this is a bunch of fun. Really glad we showed up this week.
The announcers just start covering third place on back. You know, like, I don't really worry about
it. Little's up there, you know, just making stuff up, you know, trying to talk about something new.
They are going to be at MIS, though.
Oh, Rucka.
Yeah.
Nice.
Maybe I'll just go to the ARCA race.
It's probably like much like Bristol. We're getting the ARCA race and the truck race for a combo deal for $25, and it's like general admission. You just show up and you can sit wherever.
It's awesome.
Probably cheap. I'm gonna venture to say it's probably cheap.
I'll check it out. Yeah, but that's Woodward weekend. So.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Okay. That's tough.
What I'm going to do. And hopefully I'll have something, some new toy to play with by then. So.
Bump, 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 bump. That's a perfect segue, my friend.
Oh,
it
yes.
Sure is. I thought of that one on the fly, too.
Woo!
So, we're going to do the four-door corner today. The four-door corner.
Four-door corner.
Welcome to Matt's four-door corner.
And now breaking from the four-door corner. So, ladies and gentlemen, we will give you an update on the four-door. The 1994 Honda Civic sedan. EG sedan for you fanboys. So, this week we accomplished pulling the powertrain. We cut the passenger side trans mount off the chassis. So as today, it can never be any other engine but the K-Series. What else have we done? We've looped
case
the power
the world.
Case about the world. We've looped the power steering racks. So we've converted Hackley converted a power steering rack to a manual rack.
Oh, that's gonna be fun.
We didn't take out the center piston, but
yeah. But what about the innovation? There was some innovation going on there, was there not, with the bolt?
Well, we will get to the bolt, but even better than that, our friend Sean, who got on the podcast, actually used his brake flaring tool. We put a little flare on there to make sure the clamps hold on the power steering.
Now
the fluids will pour out of the rack seals instead of the hoses, which it's currently doing.
So you've just found the other weak point.
Oh, dude, just saying, I got to bring it outside and power wash it tomorrow, hopefully, because it's bad at the moment.
Oh, my God.
So that's done. What else is done? Mounts are sorted out. We had a little snafu with the torque mount, which goes in the back. The mounts I bought actually powder coated the threads, so I ran a thread chaser in there. Got a little ambitious, and I broke her off in the mount.
Okay.
I got a little ambitious. Okay. I goofed her. So, Sean to the rescue with a torch and the welder, and welded a bolt to it. We got her out. And then I just straight drilled the thing out, and we're going to put a bolt on the other side, which it has plenty of room to do. So we saved the day there. What else have I done? I don't have pedals yet. So tomorrow morning's project is for me to find pedals. So I took 2 days off of work. So we're going to get into it tomorrow. We're going to tear into it, and I'm going to find some pedals. So got to find pedals, bud. Got to find pedals.
Got to have that.
I drilled the spot. Listen to this, Brent. You'll be proud of me. I drilled the spot welds out on the lower radiator mounts to move it from the drive passenger side to the driver's side.
Ooh, getting fancy.
Yeah, it needs to go over there. And I bought the swap hoses, which work when you do that. So tomorrow I gotta make that fit. So that's a project for tomorrow. But we should have the engine and trans back together tomorrow. We should probably have it mounted up tomorrow in the chassis.
Nice.
If everything goes well.
Very, very nice.
And my fuel system showed up, so I got that now. And, oh, my God, boys. I sent you the picture last night of her sitting in there on the engine stand.
Yeah, I put that up. I put that up tonight.
Did you? Went out?
Check it out. It's on the Instagram and the Facebook page.
World
Sean is not going to let me take the hubcaps off, so we're going to be rolling hubs, deep 14-inch hubs.
Perfect.
14s. Yeah. Okay.
And to match his rig, 14-inch, but with his, I think he has 15s actually. So you know, not a big deal.
Yeah.
That's fair. It's getting a full 3-inch exhaust, so it's going
to
be a screamer.
That's the way to go. I mean, it's like 3 or 3 inch or nothing, but
I don't know.
They love the 3-inch.
But yeah, that's the update, guys. That's we did the rear brakes. So Sean helped me replace the brake wheel cylinders in the back. They're all done. And we got to figure out why I don't have a pedal. So that was step one in figuring out why. We don't know why yet because we haven't tried and let them, but yeah.
So do you think by next week on this podcast that she'll have cranked over and run?
Dude, if it's next week, that's the start of Woodward. So it needs to be did by then. She needs to be sparking and fueling and doing things. If I got to find pedals, though, if I don't find pedals.
Could be an issue.
I'll settle for just a clutch, and I'll cut the brake pedal in half. I'll do it for the part. Yeah. But
for the weekend, you know, for Woodward, right?
Woodward, we'll cut it.
Oh, but
Brent, I'm sad you're missing this because you're down the shore. But
I am a little sad, but I will be back Saturday night is the plan.
Okay, cool.
So you know,
you know what this means, though. You know, a couple years ago. Brent's turbo Miata build, right? It was like when that happened, it was like call on everybody to Brent's house for the weekend. From you know, he put the bat signal out, and everybody came.
Yep.
I feel like once this thing's running and Matt takes step two, which is obviously, a little sidewinder exhaust manifold.
Big old Perpski.
Big old turbo hanging out there. I feel like that's when the bat signal needs to go out.
That's right? When we're going to make, that's when the chassis needs some serious upgrades because all the bushings are shot. So once
structures are not failures.
We will have, the death bushings in the back are about had it, right? They're about to do their death thing. But, for now, dude, it's going to work fine. I'm going to clown in those 5.0s all day. We're going to roll on them bad boys. So,
well, I think I'm going to, when you do that in 2 years from now, the bumper to warranty on the edge should probably be up, and I'm going to bring Jenna out and line her up next to you.
But I'm going to get smoked by a car with two parts in the back. So,
oh, she'll be loving life when she smokes you, Matt.
Oh yeah. Oh, she, Jenna loves clowning me. Loves it. So,
you'll get her off the line though.
Did she click off the line? Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. But if everything goes,
she gets you on the big end. She gets you on the big end.
The deep end? I don't know. Like, I got that driver mod though, Sands. Is she gonna keep her foot in it or what?
I don't know. We'll have to see. I'll have to reach over with a stick or something and hold it down.
Now if Megan was racing me, I'd be terrified. So I've seen your wife, Brent, take a samurai through the fields in third gear, wide open.
Yeah, she
can wheel it.
She can wheel more than she wants to admit or wants to enjoy.
Wants to enjoy. There you go.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, great, man. This is awesome. I'm so pumped for you. This is so cool.
Thanks, buddy.
Getting an opportunity to do it over again.
It was funny. I was telling my boss about it today. And he goes, oh, yeah, I did the same thing when I was your age. I bought a 74 Coupe de Ville that he had as his first car.
Okay. Coupe de Ville. All right.
Just had to have it, you know?
Yeah. Got to have it.
Yep.
So what was – so we'll do this real quick. What was – so, Adam, I think I know both your first cars, but let's tell the listening audience. What was your first rig?
My very first car?
First car.
My first car would have been a 1995 – Dodge Ram 1500 single cab short bed four wheel drive.
So a race truck. So Adam had the Texas Walker race truck.
It was bright red. Yeah, single cab short bed four wheel drive, and
didn't have a 5.9 in it.
Had a 5.9 360. Yeah, that's a big engine, baby. Big engine. A lot of miles.
Those fanboys don't care about that. They paid $1 million for that thing.
Yeah, it had like 200,000 miles. And needed head gaskets, and it got head gaskets. but it was a gas hog, of course. And I regret that one because it was clean. It wasn't rusty whatsoever. Didn't have the Dodge rot. You know what I mean?
Dude, I mean, that's
if, fanboy. If anybody who's listened to this who knows anything about cars, you know what I'm talking about when I say, I guess it didn't, the Dodge rot. It didn't have it. This didn't have this Dodge rot.
that's a rare thing.
The rot.
It was an auction rig. My dad picked her up at the auction.
I was gonna ask if that or a trade-in, one of the two.
Yeah, no, I picked her up at the auction, $1,500.
Given the chance to do it again, would you drive one of those rigs?
Would I drive it again? You're asking me, Matt?
Correct. If you're like what I just did, right? When I bought my first car and doing it again, right? Would you do it again?
I definitely would, but I wouldn't get a four-wheel drive one.
Oh, okay. Street truck. I like it. Yeah. It would be really sweet there. One of those V10, those SRT10 powertrains, one of those older body styles.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Not his style, huh?
No. I feel like you just put a Hellcat in it, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. If you're going to do it, or a Hellephant, whatever they're calling those things now.
Yeah, well, I heard that term the other day, and I'm like, no, that can't be real. What is that? It is a thing?
It's a crate. Yeah, it's bigger than the Hellcat, or whatever it is. It's a crate engine. It's not in a production car.
That's awesome.
But, and Mopar is selling this? Like, you can buy this?
Yep, over the counter.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're called the Hellcat. Beautiful. And
got 12 month 12,000 on it or what?
I'm sure it's got a, you know, it's got a power, it's got a S or what is it? It's got a power tray or a service part warranty on it, FPW, you know. But yeah, they'll be everywhere in Dodge land. Our friend who has the shop up here what did he have? He had a Charger with a Helifant that he's doing a manifold work on. So
beautiful.
Yeah. Brent, what was your first car?
My first car. And I like what this. I like where you went with this, Matt. Which is the would you do it again question.
Right.
My first car was a 1984 Mazda RX-7. Silver with a burgundy interior, burgundy leather interior.
First gen.
Nice.
First gen. It was first gen. Yep. And I did a bunch of dumb stuff to that car and put a different rotary engine in it, and still didn't make a whole lot of power.
You were pumped though. You were all about it.
I was all about it. I guess, and it, like you said, Matt, you didn't have the money at the time to do it up like you wanted to do. So if I were to do it again, it would either have a turbocharged 13B, which is the sort of the standard two rotor that was in all of the late 80s through the end of the RX-7 in 95, 96. Or better yet, I would do a three rotor, something out of Japan. Ooh. either NA. I would probably go NA, like a big port individual throttle body NA. I'll still make like 350 horsepower out of a 2 liter. Yeah, just all the noises. That's probably what I would.
Our friend up here just bought a really clean second gen in silver.
Huh.
Our friend who plays with Subarus.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
For his LS project. Yep. So it was actually in the sunshine, because we actually got to meet each other in the middle of the night, but that's a different story. But yeah, the car itself is decent, man. It's got that, you know it's got that like moss growing on the front, you know it's gonna be a clean chassis when you get that moss off, you know, it's been sick a while. But
it's great.
Sweet. Well, awesome. We got the update on the SID, and it's been good.
Extracurriculars.
Yeah. So we have a new section of the podcast recommended by my dear wife.
God lover.
A way to spice it up. And Brent has taken on the task of being the first one to present the driver bio section of the Left is Right podcast.
Driver bio section. This is good. So I was spurred on by the interaction between this individual and Young Money Kyle Larson last weekend. So driver of the number 20 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota, Christopher Bell.
That's awesome.
That was so much about part of the reason. Yeah, part of the reason it kicked me off onto that was because of the interaction between him and Kyle, which I think Christopher Bell was in the wrong there. But I had assumed, based on his performances this year, you know, winning the Daytona Road Course, the way he ran at the Glen, I think he still finished seventh after getting spun around there by Larson towards the end of the race. I'm thinking this is a guy. He's got road course experience. He knows his way around road course. He's only 26. He's from Norman, Oklahoma, wherever Norman, Oklahoma is. and he seems to know his way around a road course. But I would be very, very wrong by that. He's a dirt racer. Mm-hmm. You know, into the midgets.
Oh Lord. Yeah,
the midgets. He won the Chili Bowl Nationals in 2017, 18, and 19.
Oh baby, I knew he won Chili Bowl, but I didn't realize he was a three-peat winner.
So he started racing micro sprints in the early 2000s, according to the bio that I can find, and he made the jump to the USAC midgets. And this is a part that I find really interesting. 2013. He joined Keith Kunz Motorsports and USAC Racing, replacing none other than Kyle Larson on that race team.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Kyle would have made the jump to, I believe, Xfinity. Well, I think it was it the Nationwide Series?
So Kyle was moving on. Okay.
Kyle was moving on.
This was in 13? 13, you said?
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, it's interesting. So Kyle was moving on to NASCAR. He filled the slot. But, yeah. And he ran a lot of dirt car stuff, and I think I get the impression that he still has interest in doing so. I don't know if he runs dirt like Larson runs dirt, like we know. He'll run a dirt race on a Saturday night and then go run a cup race on Sunday.
So I can interject there. He so this year PA Speed Week the night. At Grandview up the street from my house here where Larson was racing in the 410 sprint cars, Christopher was here as well.
Okay. So yeah, he does a lot of that too. So it's interesting to see it would almost seem like the dirt track skills seem to work well across a wide variety of motorsports from asphalt oval to road course, because both, you know, Kyle seems to be good. Kyle Larson's good at it. He's good at it. We see, you know, Martin Truex doesn't. He won a dirt track race in a. He was running truck at Bristol. It sure seems like if you can get your way around a dirt track, that's kind of like the top of the heap there from a driver skill standpoint, even though I think a lot of people consider dirt oval racing as a lower tier of motorsports, but it's pretty interesting. I mean, he's two seasons into cup racing, and he's got 10 top 10 finishes this season. The win at the Daytona Road Course I mentioned, and I'm pretty sure he's locked into the playoffs. 11th, 12th position is what I'm showing.
He got that win at the road course, so he's in.
Yep. So.
And you're in.
Yeah, winning, you're in. Winning, you're in. So yeah, he's. I hadn't realized just how. He's certainly not the youngest driver that we talk about on a regular basis, but he. He definitely is on the younger side of things, and maybe not as prominent as Ty Gibbs, who will probably find himself in a cup car pretty soon, or even Kyle Larson, who's still a pretty young gun. But he definitely has a shot at a Cup Series championship, I think, over the next few years if he continues to drive like he. Like he has his first two seasons, it seems.
Yeah, he's in that Gibbs, right? He's in that Gibbs equipment, which is that cup. You know, top three teams, right? So
where you want to be?
It's where you want to be. Everybody in Cup, I think everybody that has a goal of racing in NASCAR wants to be in great equipment, and he's in it. He took that ride from Fat Eric Jones last year.
Fat Eric Jones.
Oh. Oh man.
Yeah. So you were talking a little bit there, Bryn, about taking that ride from well, not taking it, but filling that ride that Larson left vacant when he came to Cup. So if you back up a little bit, if you remember when we were at Talladega in 2019, right? That was the 95 car, which was the Barstool Sports one bike car. That was the scheme that weekend. Matty D was riding that rig around Talladega that day. And Matty D lost his ride in that car that year. And that was that Levine Family, LFR, Levine Family Racing? Is that who was running that? So that was a Gibbs affiliate. And I mean, they're no longer in business, but after Matty D, Christopher Velk came into that car. And, when Gibbs decided to move on from Eric Jones in the 20, they just, and LFR was closing the doors, that's when they brought Bell in this year.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was
very, very interesting.
Good move, and I think he's a good driver, so we'll see. I think that organization is getting older with Hamlin and Truex at the end, Kyle Busch, really.
Yeah.
So the next couple of years, we'll see. They'll probably, you know, go in the way of the Hendricks, right? All the young kids, but yeah, it's going to be very interesting to watch. If he keeps winning, he'll keep his ride, right? As they do in the sport. But, you know, like with Eric Jones, Eric Jones didn't do squat. He maybe won a race, right? And then that was it. So,
yeah.
And I'm going to guess there's so much more pressure on the Toyota side when somebody in top equipment like that isn't winning.
Yes.
Or isn't consistent just because of how many drivers are in that development program. I mean, they're essentially the really only ones attempting to develop young drivers. And there just isn't enough seats in Cup in a Toyota car to bring them all along in a Toyota. It's a log jam. So, you know, the same goes for Bell at this point. If he stops winning, he'll be on the hot seat too, you know, because he's young. He's not proven, you know what I mean? So there'll be an option there. There'll be an option there for whether it's Truex, Hamlin, or Busch. I mean, those guys aren't going to last forever. And I would suspect at least one of those cars has a different driver going into the 2023 season. That's my prediction.
Oh, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Take note.
No, I'm with you though, buddy. They're growing, and Brent, that's great, buddy. Thanks for taking the time to walk us through that.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, I didn't know much. I didn't know the Chili Bowl stuff, and I didn't know you're from Norman, Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think the thing that surprised me the most was that, you know, obviously the success in racing dirt midgets, and the fact that he joined a USAC midget team to replace Kyle Larson when he went to NASCAR stuff, and it would appear based on your comment, Adam, about both of those drivers being at Grandview, they've obviously interacted with each other outside of NASCAR. I am kind of surprised, and I think this is Kyle Larson's words that we're saying here. I'm kind of surprised that Kyle said he has no interest in discussing the dust up that happened at the Glen. I don't know. It's kind of odd.
In the Cup Series, it's hard because it's so much more political.
Right.
Right. I mean, you're the only reason you're there. I mean, you have talent, but like you are in that ride because there are other people who are willing to put money behind your name.
Right.
So anything you do can and will be used against you. My guess is, does Christopher want to say something? Probably. Is it the right thing to do? Probably not. You know, it leaves the fans, you know, gives the room for Kyle to make comments like he is right now. But you know, I don't know if that's the truth. I'm clearly speculating, but
Bell too. You gotta think about it like this: like Chase. Yeah, Chase Elliott's the most popular driver, but Larson ain't far behind him, right?
Yep.
And who's Bell to come in and start bashing? You know, guy with the most wins this year and possibly future champion this year. So
remove Larson's mistake from last year, right? Remove that mistake, but keep the same situation where he moves to a Hendrick car this year. And the same things occur, you know what I mean? Like he's winning the dirt races. He's got as many wins, same exact wins as he does now. So the only thing you're removing is the mistake. He's definitely, in my opinion, would be the most popular driver.
Yep.
Wouldn't even.
I agree. I agree with you, bud. It's what a ride. What an experience it's been for Larson.
You gotta get off the Larson train.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate that 42 train. I'm sorry, 5 train.
Okay. So shall we move on?
Yes.
Yeah, buddy. What's next? What do we got on the agenda?
All right. Last section here. This one's running good. So this weekend is Indianapolis Road Course Weekend. All right. So I didn't realize this, but actually on top of NASCAR, Xfinity, and Cup Series, IndyCar is also running the road course on Saturday at the same time. So you got both series in the same house.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Cool. That's a cool ticket to have. That's a cool ticket to have. I would like to jump on
it
that.
It would be. I think it would be. I kind of find this kind of weird then. So in my, you know, researching the Twitter sphere, or however the people of the internet say it.
The tweeters.
I don't know.
Tweety birds. I don't know. Whatever. Make it up.
So people seemed genuinely mad about NASCAR going to Indy and not running the oval, but they were equally as mad that Indy was even still on the NASCAR schedule. What's up with that?
I don't get it.
I don't understand. I don't know. Like, I just it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Cup has never run the Indy road course, correct?
The first year was last year. Xfinity ran it. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, they did. I didn't realize that.
Xfinity ran the road course last year. Yeah. That was the July 4th weekend.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be a good one. So running down the schedule. So Saturday is the IndyCar series, the Big Machine Spiked Coolers Grand Prix.
Fantastic.
It'll be on at 12:30.
Yep.
Xfinity Series, the Pennzoil 150 at the Brickyard. Typical NASCAR name. That's a good one. Good sponsor. Good sponsor placement right there. Is later in the day at 4 o'clock on Saturday. And then Sunday is the Big Boys. The Cup Series is the Verizon 200 at the Brickyard at 1 p.m. Eastern. So stacked again. Three races.
It's impressive.
Yeah. I think it's a cool ticket to have. I think the new owner of that track had a lot to do with this.
Yeah.
To have
Mr. Roger Penske, right?
Yes. I think he had a lot to do with this. I don't think we need to go there. I think that's always been, I don't know. The races are okay, right? I don't think they're, it's all single file racing on the oval at least. Road course will be a new experience, but.
The track itself is so historic. I think for me, you know, like sports fans. Okay, so let's relate this to the common sports fan, right? So baseball, right? There's historic track. There's historic fields, right? You've got Wrigley Field in Chicago. You've got the original Yankee Stadium, and even the current one. I would argue.
Thank you.
RIP. So pay your respects. Fenway Park, right?
Fenway Park, yeah.
You know, and we've lost a handful of those. Indianapolis, you know, the where that's located being right in town the way it is a massive facility, and it's a spectacle.
Spectacle like is a good word. Yeah.
You would be in awe, like, just like you would. You know, you don't have to be a Yankee fan to appreciate Yankee Stadium. You don't have to be a Red Sox fan to appreciate Fenway. Same with Chicago and Wrigley Field. You don't have to be a Cubs fan. You can just enjoy it for what it is. And that would be the same way at Indianapolis for me. But I don't think the NASCAR race, I don't think it would be on the one I want to go to. I mean, I'd want to go to the Indy 500.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean that's the event. Just it's like the Kentucky Derby, right? I mean it's.
No, dude, I hear you, man. I'd rather see the it's cool to be there. I'd rather see it somewhere else. Like I like the short track stuff. Has been putting on a great show. I'm on the short track train, but I really short am. So, train. I'd like to see an investment in a short track, and not another road course on an oval.
Yeah. What's weird about this being on an oval, Matt, is, and I assumed it was going to mimic in a way, not mimic in a way, but somehow appear similar to the Daytona road course where, you know, they're they're still using a vast majority of the oval in a traditional sense. The only portions of the oval that they're using backwards.
That's right. They're running the whole thing in reverse.
Yeah.
The front stretch, they go clockwise. I was just looking at this this course layout, and I'm like, oh, my God.
The boys are going to be throwing up, dude. They're going to get up there next to the wall on the left side. They're just going to start chowing everywhere. They're not going to know what to do.
It's like, oh, man. Yeah, that's got to be – that was my first thought. It's like going down that – because really only using – oh, I guess it'd be NASCAR – a little bit of NASCAR 2 – oval 2, turn 2, which would be the tail end of turns like 11 and 12 of the road course, and then down the front straight. But, yeah, they're going in the front straight the other direction. Which is different. So we'll see. Like you, right, like you said,
fuel,
Adam.
Right side fueling.
Yeah. Yeah, I was shocked that they – I'm thinking, oh, the poor gas can guy is going to have to run around the other side of the car. No, they modified the cars to move the filler neck to the other
road
side.
America. Which, Road America, that happened last week. It happened at the Glen, and it'll be again this week. So
got to have him prepped for it. But yeah, like you made a comment, Adam, about how, or maybe it was sorry, it was Matt about, you know, I'd rather see more short course racing than a super speedway turned road course. Yeah, I guess a super speedway turned road course. It's not that the corners aren't interesting, but they completely lack any elevation change to the track.
Mm-hmm.
And usually any banking of any sort in corners that aren't on the oval. And it does take away a little bit when you compare that to the Glen, Mid-Ohio, Road America, Coda, those, you know, honest to goodness road courses. So the corkscrew. Since said the cup cars off
I would
the
love group. Oh my God, I'd pay so much money to watch them go over that fence. Oh,
that would be good.
Yeah, it'll be, you know, I don't know. I'm concerned that the entertainment value is not going to be very high this week, unfortunately.
maybe we'll be proven wrong. That would be good.
Yeah,
I was playing with the track a little bit in Forza 7.
Oh, okay.
And it's got some slow corners, but there's this one like S section that they're going to be blowing the curbs off. Just and watch the exit of the last corner onto the straightaway. It's off cambered. There's three different offsets of track. There's three different pitches of the track. So,
nice.
Really? Wow. Okay.
They are going to be stupid loose or trying to get that thing powered down. So,
yeah. so guys could be trying different lines, you think?
There could be different lines. It's wide and it's long. So there's a lot of opportunity for or screwing around. I'm not trying to use the F word on the podcast, Adam. So
that's a good word. It's a good term.
Make a time note on that one. Yeah. That's
appropriate.
I can cut that.
God, no, I was trying to, you know, we got to keep this thing somewhat decent. But.
I think it was fully appropriate for the application.
Thanks, Brent.
Yeah,
Brent's okay.
I'm good with it.
So they are back on practice and qualifying though this weekend, which I like the idea of it being every so often. You know, I feel like. Going forward, I'm interested to see what they do next year, but I think it's very important for Cup because obviously they haven't been here, so it gives everybody at least an opportunity to like not just unload it and race it.
I think it would be awesome, but like
it would be. I mean, you can make the argument for just unloading it and racing it for sure because it can create certain things in the race. But it can also take out a bunch of people right in the beginning, and it's like, well, geez, like,
yeah. Okay.
It's definitely danger. I could see, like, you get a lap practice and then you qualify. That's what I like, a full speed lap. Like, maybe you get it warmed up, you know. Yep. And then,
or how about this? What would be cool if it's like a tiered qualifying first practice system? So, if you do under 10 laps, you can qualify for the top 10 spots, right? You do 10 to 20 laps of practice. You qualify for 10 to 20 on the starting grid. So would you take a hit in the starting position to have more time practicing?
Oh my gosh.
What else do you get though? What else do you get? Do you get something for taking a hit? Like, do you get?
You get the experience of going around the track. You can tune your car, whatever you want. I'm just a race promoter at heart, guys. Okay. I've been pitching a deer lap for a while. I've been pitching the Camping World trucks pulling fifth wheel trailers. That's a good idea too. You don't see that. You want to talk about advertisement, bud? Can you imagine a 35-foot sail going around the track?
It's a lot of real estate.
Here's a tire changer. You're going to change the rear four.
Oh my God.
That is warning for every human being that we know in this world that you better pray that we don't get FU rich.
This is the stuff that's going to happen.
There's
going
to be some stuff. Because when you're FU rich, who's going to stop you?
Listen, Camping World Truck Guy sponsored every truck running around there. You know, loves it. All about.
So yeah, Brent, you brought it, or we mentioned it earlier. Xfinity ran here last year, so this will be the first time for Cup. So, just to give everybody an idea of, you know, who could be good here. So the winner of that race was Mr. Chase Briscoe, which he practically won every Xfinity race last year. So that's not really a surprise.
Stuart Haas equipment hasn't been showing up though, so
yeah. The AJ Allmendinger was came in fourth. Austin Cindric came in fifth. And Melon Man Ross Chastain took home a sixth.
Dude, if he gets a win, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna be so freaking excited.
Matt's gonna go to Meijer and buy all the watermelons they have.
I'm smashing one. I'm gonna smash a melon. That's what we're gonna do.
Get it on video, bud. Get it on video. Oh, that would be amazing. Oh my gosh.
Melon energy.
Big melon. Hashtag big melon energy. So yeah, it should be a good race. I mean, well, I don't know. I said earlier it might not be a good race, and I'll stick to that. It might not be.
We've been proven wrong before. Remember last time we said that?
Oh yeah.
What race was that? That was
New Hampshire?
No, it was Kansas.
Yes! No, it was New Hampshire.
New Hampshire was too
crazy. New Hampshire, we're like, this is going to be so boring. And then friggin' Bush hits the wall on lap four because it got wet and then rubs the pace car.
Yeah.
That's when we should
have left the rear wheels off the podcast. So.
And that's when we were wrong.
Yes.
Just wanted to spice it up for you.
Lap five, left is right, was wrong. So.
So, yeah. That's about all I think we got for today. Any parting words for you guys?
I'll keep the folks updated on the Honda stuff next week. Hopefully everything goes well. So send me some good gearhead vibes. I hopefully got my mistakes out of the way now. And hopefully it goes well. So, and hopefully the engine I built holds up. That's another factor I keep forgetting about. So
minor details.
That'll be fine. That'll be fine. Even if it's not, that'll be a point where I think you can send a bad signal out again.
Yeah, yeah. I need my spirit animal back, Brent. So I need my spirit animal back here. So tell me to stop doing stuff hack and do it right. You know,
I got to come over and drink beer and judge Matt.
That's fine. Wait till you see the brown interior, dude. It's pristine.
Brown cloth interior, man. I'd say they should bring that back, but they really shouldn't bring that back.
I got a line on an EP3 driver's seat, which is an 02 to 05 Civic Si. So watch out.
Nice. Sweet, man. Well, Mr. P, enjoy your vacation, buddy. You're heading home this weekend then?
Heading home this weekend. I got a few more beers to drink down here, and you know, it'll be good.
You get any pizza?
We've had quite a bit of pizza. It's been good.
Oh,
it's been good? That's the word you use to describe the pizza?
Oh, my goodness. Look at this guy. You can tell somebody's from the East Coast when they're...
It's been good, yeah.
When they expect you to be, like, head over heels over their pizza.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, I can share that sentiment. I can share that sentiment on this side of this area, right from here to all the way over to where you're currently located, Ram, all the pizza's good.
Yeah.
It's all good, but there's the exceptional that's in there somewhere too. So
that's like I have to do more market research, you know, in the name of science.
Barstool's got a pizza app, so check it out.
You do. They haven't rated. Well, what do you say then, I guess?
Ladies and gentlemen, keep the shiny side up and the rubber side down. Let's go racing at Indy, but it's not the 500. It's the road course in NASCAR. Everybody enjoy. I'm sure it'll be a good show. Check it out. And let's go racing.
See you next week.
Later.